Talk Live, 855-450-3733. You can listen to Free Talk Live in all kinds of different ways. Not only were you on more than 100 great radio stations across the country, but we also have some satellite options, XM, Free to Air. There's live streams on the internet, the cam at cam.freetalklive.com, and listen lines. Check them out at freetalklive.com. It's Mark
and Ian
and Osborne,
the live Sunday edition. Give us a call at 855-450-3733. Take control of the airwaves. Talk about whatever you want to talk about, 855-450-3733.
So there's something that I want to follow up on from last hour. I know you want to talk about Herman Cain, but you asked Osborne a question, and you never actually let him answer it. Do you remember what the question was?
No. Go ahead.
Another way to say it might be I avoided the question.
Okay.
I don't know.
No, I don't think we kind of ran out of time. But the issue was brought up that there was an experience I had where a guy at an Occupy Keene event had complained that it seemed to him as though all the most successful people he knows didn't go to college. And, of course, he went to college, and he isn't doing as well as these folks and is kind of upset by it. You know, he's been butthurt by the college system, and that's what it does to people. It screws a lot of them over. Some people it helps, but for many people it's not worth their while, and I think he was a little bit upset about that. But you would ask the question of Osborne, essentially, well, why is it that so many successful people haven't gone to college?
No, I was actually asking him to back that statement up or rebut that statement in any way, because I don't believe that statement.
Well, I'd be willing to bet that it was a lot more true in years past, right? But nowadays, almost everybody goes to college, right? Because they're just handing out, tuition money to everybody. So I don't know that it's quite true anymore.
What don't you believe?
I believe that success is success, and going to college is going to college. And these things are not necessarily correlative in any way.
I don't know. I mean, I would speculate that the reason why people that are outside of the college system maybe could be more successful. I mean, obviously, clearly there's a variety of levels of success. Some people aren't very successful at all. But I think that when you go to college, you're still being brought and indoctrinated into this hierarchical system, this mindset that you have to go and get a job somewhere when you graduate. They're not teaching people to be entrepreneurs for the most part in these colleges.
I would agree with the entrepreneur portion.
If you want to be really successful, usually that's the way you have to do it. If you're working for the man your whole life, you're not likely going to be as successful, in my opinion, as if you create something yourself. If you create a product or service and you're the one who brings that directly to the marketplace, I think you can reap more rewards that way and overall become more successful. But the model that is taught in the schools is plug into this system, kids. This works. You get a job. You work that job. You work your career. Work it for your whole life, 40-some more years, and then you can retire. And that's all you have to do. And they don't teach kids to go out and step out and take risks. You've got to take risks to be truly successful, I think.
I agree with that, that school in general tries to teach you that, and that it's not a particularly valuable formula.
I mean, you went to college. Did they teach you to be an entrepreneur there?
I probably had a little different college experience than most people. I went to Hillsdale College, and then
which is the one college.
The one college that doesn't take federal monies. So I probably had a little bit of a different learning track than some people.
Is it a libertarian paradise?
No, it's the opposite of that.
Okay,
but back in my day, they certainly tried to build themselves as being such. I would say it's more of a neocon stronghold at this point.
Okay,
that's besides the point.
But you also went to George Mason.
Yes, I did. And studied economics there with Austrian and experimental economists.
So you're saying that they did teach you to be an entrepreneur?
Yes. So especially at George Mason, I had a number of professors who were actually out in the real business world that would come in and teach classes. Mm-hmm. And so...
So it's there for people that are seeking it, or like what's the average?
Yes, and I would say actually at the community colleges, you actually get a lot more of that because there's a little more flexibility and freedom to just kind of do whatever you want. So you get a lot of the just kind of quirky and interesting people from the real world that come in and teach the classes mm-hmm. there. So I think you can actually learn a lot more in that environment than you can at the universities where you've got these ivory tower people who've never really set foot out of their office.
But you think that the other people in the college world had a different experience than you. You feel like you're Your experience was a little different. Why? Because it was an economic track or something like that, or what?
Yeah, they had, you know. I don't know how to explain this right off the top of my head.
Okay.
But you know, the university system definitely has much more of a, like a cookie cutter environment to it, where they herd you into classrooms with, you know, 300 people at a time, and
learn.
There's not really a whole lot of learning going on, so much as that, like, I was a bouncer for one of my professors for one of his classes, and I would put on my sunglasses and leather jacket and walk down the aisles and make sure people weren't, you know, watching porn on their laptops.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, I wonder, when you're talking about classrooms as big as these university classrooms, you're talking about 300 people in a class and sometimes more, depending on the size of the university. Why in the world, why don't they just do this on the internet? Why can't I just make a YouTube video, professor, and I will watch it, and I will turn in whatever I need to turn in?
They have those things. I mean, they have internet courses.
Yeah, and I'm not that old either, but even, you know, just a few years ago when I was in college, there wasn't that much. I got my first computer when I was a freshman in college, right? So back then, there weren't these learning opportunities out there like there are today. Like, now you can get on the internet and learn whatever the heck you want. You go to Mises.org, and they've got classes that you can take online with great economists like Tom Woods and Robert Murphy.
They certainly do.
And are those free?
They're not free. There's nominal fees involved in taking those, but it's fractions of what it costs to go to
lots and lots of podcasts, though, that you can download, MP3s, and listen to. At Mises.org.
Absolutely.
You'll get an education like you want to get. You can create your own education essentially there.
Yeah, what I was talking about is the actual interactive classes where they're, you know, video conferencing, and you can, you know, live interact with these professors just like you were taking a class with them at a school, except not paying the huge amounts of money.
Let's go to the phones here. We got Jed in Wyoming. Jed?
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Did you guys interrupt me, like, petting my cat, making a ridiculous fool of myself?
We wouldn't have known.
You can talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Had you not said it.
I was going to say about college. I didn't mean to go into that conversation, but the only reason I would think one would go into college is just to get any one of the myriad of, like, things that you need to go into college to get, like any kind of a medical license or, pretty much medical license or anything that they require some kind of certification for, anything like business or anything like that. I've never seen anybody succeed more on a business license than what they have.
I'm not sure what business license there is, but I don't think there is.
I mean, just getting a business degree in general.
I'm not sure that a business degree is that valuable.
I got to tell you, I taught a number of MBA classes. And
the only reason, the only thing I'm saying would be valuable to do is something the government requires you to have, like a college license thing for having.
Right,
like
I would think
a medical degree.
I've come up with doctors, lawyers, and engineers. These things make perfectly good sense to me. There's probably some other stuff out there, but these come to the top
it
of my
sucks
mind.
Because, like, it seems to me that people could do that stuff just as good, and there's people just as smart that would like to go into those things that aren't able to because they don't have a little government piece of paper.
There you go.
And although this wasn't actually my point, although I am pissed because I always wanted to be a registered nurse, because you can get jobs like that all over the country, and apparently even if you're a felon, you can't do that a lot of the times, especially if you have theft felonies or anything drug-related.
I'm not familiar, but it may very well be the case. I've heard that felons can't be morticians and dentists.
Wow.
I probably really? Wouldn't hire a drug thief to work in my hospital with my drug.
Makes sense.
Not necessarily a drug thief, but say, like, I was convicted at the age of 19 because I was caught at 17, but they waited till I was over the age of 18 to convict me for it so I could get convicted as an adult. And then all the medical things that I'd went through in college and all of that stuff was pretty much null and void because there was no way that I was going to be able to deal with any kind of occupation like that in the future.
Damn.
So anyways, I had a crazy experience today with a soldier doing a toy drive outside of the Walmart here in Casper.
Really?
How'd that go?
Yeah. Well, it went all right. I walked in, just coming in to buy a little video game that I wanted to play for a long time. And there was a National Reserve chick or one of those people.
National Reserve chick. Very respectful. Hold the line here, Jed. We'll hear this story in its entirety. The National Reserve chick.
It's going well already.
855-450-3733 here on Free Talk Live's Live Sunday Edition.
I have this dizzy feeling every time I get out of bed, like spinning. I don't know why. It's awful.
I get dizzy when I read or work on the computer.
I get lightheaded walking down a hall or aisle.
Or unsteady on my feet.
I lose my balance and get a little motion sick.
It's like vertigo. That dizzy feeling in a car, train, or airplane.
It's awful. An inner ear problem.
Most likely your vestibular system.
Now there's Zyvestra.
An amazing, fast-acting
dual-action tabs and targeted cream you rub behind your ear.
Behind your ear.
And it works in an advanced homeopathic way to relieve dizziness.
It relieves that vertigo feeling.
That dizzy feeling, gone.
Zyvestra is amazing.
No more suffering from dizziness and queasiness.
Wake up with better balance.
Call right now for your risk-free trial of Zyvestra. Call 1-800-304-1684. 800-304-1684. Stop the dizziness. Call 800-304-1684. That's 800-304-1684.
Greetings again. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, your source for gold and silver. You know, I have the same crystal ball that you have when it comes to what's just around the corner, but we both know that there's nothing on the financial horizon that looks very good. The single measure of good news is that precious metals continue to outperform everything else out there. Right now is a time to take a hard look. Pricing is more attractive now than it's been in many months. Historically and traditionally, this is when prices rise the fastest. They haven't. And opportunities knocking. Please give me a call, 800-686-2237, extension 128. I promise you an informative, no pressure, no nonsense conversation. We might even have some grins. This is John Swenson at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 128. Just make that call. Thanks.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now, you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 50% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Don't wait another day. Just call 1-888-246-0623. Again, 1-888-246-0623.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Lives, live Sunday edition. We take your calls at 855-450-3733. It's Mark with you.
And Ian.
And Osborne.
855-450-FREE. Let's go right back into the calls with Jed right after this. I recently acquired a .50 caliber air rifle that can bring down a deer. It's called The Dragon Claw, and it is frankly quite awesome. You guys have neither of you have had a chance to try this thing out. It is amazing. Now, I put a whole bunch of rounds through it in the past few weeks, and I've actually let a couple of my friends do the same, and they agree. It's a great rifle. It's powerful, but it isn't a firearm, and you can buy it online. They'll have it shipped to you with no problem anywhere in the United States, as I understand it. The government won't give you any trouble. It's PyramidAir.com. The purveyors of this rifle sell small bore rifle and a large bore air gun suitable for medium and large game. Their experts there can help you find the best air gun for your needs right over the phone. They worked with me. You can get a 10% off or free shipping, whichever is better, with coupon code FTL11. Please go now and view the amazing Dragon Claw at airgun.freetalklive.com. Peruse the site there. See all the amazing air guns and accessories they have for you. It's airgun.freetalklive.com.
Wait a sec. I never heard of such a thing. How does it work? Does it use like a CO2 canister, or what, do you pump it up? Or?
There is a pump for it, but you'll be pumping a long time. You can fill it with the tank from a scuba diving tank.
Awesome.
Get the air, and it'll fire 12 to 15 rounds. It has a high power and a low power setting, and it'll push this 50 caliber slug thing down that barrel.
Is that a standard piece of ammunition, or do you have to buy
it? You get it from them, okay. but they make them right there. They're much cheaper than ammunition because it's just a little piece of lead. And this thing, I saw a video where it went through 7 2-liter bottles full of liquid. Mm. And if you can imagine the puncture and then going through the liquid and then the puncture and then the puncture and then going through the liquid and then mm-hmm. 7 of them. That's a lot.
14
and
punctures.
Yeah, it didn't go all the way through the seventh one. I believe it did not go all the 13. Way through the seventh one. But that's, it just shows the power of this thing. It has the muzzle velocity of a handgun.
Incredible.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So it's airgun.freetalklive.com. Let's go back to Jed in Wyoming. Jed.
Hello?
Hello, Army Reserve.
Yeah, well, after all that, man, before I lock myself away in my basement and shoot myself up with Radaway and pump up with my 50 shotgun freaking thing full of air rifle velocity. Anyways, your commercial
hilarious.
Thing was pretty funny. I didn't know if it was a joke or not at the end. But what was I going on about? Oh, my little experience with the Army Marine base here in Wyoming.
Was this some kind of a recruiting thing? I thought you said it was at the Walmart.
Yeah, it was at Walmart. I walk into Walmart, and I wear this, my girlfriend gave me this kind of, one of those things with the white and red plaid-looking terrorist, not really terrorist, but Muslim kind of rags that they wear over there.
Huh?
Okay. Like the thing.
A tablecloth thing? Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it looks cool, so I wear it all over the place, and I don't really think about it.
As headgear?
So I'm walking. What do you call it?
As headgear? You're wearing this as headgear?
I'm just wearing it on my head, like wrapped around and tied around my head, because it's cold outside.
Okay. That seems like a really bad choice, but go ahead.
I don't know, but I think it looks cool and whatever. So I'm walking into this thing, and somebody gives this one Marine or whatever veteran kind of thing. Hands me a piece of paper, and it's a toys for whatever thing. So I fold it up, and I put it in my pocket. I'm nice. I go in, I get my video game, I get my juice or whatever, and I walk back outside. And I walk out, and then I see there's a bigger, more scarier-looking dude out there. He says, "How you doing, buddy?" I said, "Oh, I'm doing all right, man. How you doing?"
Jed, how old are you?
I'm 27, actually, but I know I sound like a kid, so.
Okay, I'm just making sure, seeing if you're in their age range of.
Do you look like a target for them?
Oh no, right? he was probably actually younger than me, but he was a big bushy, had the full sandy beard kind of thing going on. He was an intimidating guy. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Okay. So, hey, man, can I talk to you for a second? It's like, oh sure, whatever, buddy. And we walk over here by the thing, and he's being nice to me till we get about in the middle of the parking lot, and he says, "What's the deal wearing that terrorist, blah, 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 blah." And I looked at him, and I'm goofy all the time. So I said, "What, I know you guys are toys for whatever. I'm toys for terrorists," or whatever. Just joking with him. Not really that I believe that, but come on. He hates Muslims or whatever. Mm. So he says, "F you, you son of a bitch." And I start flee from the scene, like, as fast as I can. But this SOB is fast, you know? So I'm
He's fast.
And like, ah. And there's this big hill that, like, you know, dumps down into the Radio Shack. It's like a different mini mall thing up in there.
Uh-huh.
And I'm fleeing. He's yelling at me all the time. I'm like, oh,
so let me
God.
Get this straight. A guy at a Toys for Tots thing chased you and was attempting
what? It's not. I have the piece of paper right here. It's like some kind of military thing. They're trying to raise money for toys for something.
Uh-huh.
Which is reasonable. I took the flyer as I went in.
So this guy was in the military, or just somebody else who was dropping off toys?
No, they were all in full military garb. He had the he had the hat on. They were all camouflaged up.
I didn't know they were allowed to have beards.
Yeah, I thought military guys didn't have beards.
Oh no, this dude had a full. Like he had the mustache. Like he had a red little mustache thing, and the rest of it was all. He was an evil. Like almost.
I don't know if I believe this story.
Like, I don't believe any of it.
So what happened after he chased you down the hill?
I don't believe the part about him wearing terrorist garb out in
what happened,
Chesler, Wyoming.
What happened when they chased you down the hill?
It's even funnier. It gets better, dude. As he was chasing you down the hill, I got my little like stoner buddies down the thing, you know.
Oh, hold on. You've got your stoner buddies down the hill. What did you expect, trouble?
No, not at all. I was just.
Then why are they waiting down the hill?
Because
did they have their air rifles?
Dude, I went to go get a video game, bro.
Yeah. And they're waiting down the hill from you? Why didn't they come in? Are they banned from Walmart?
You've got to wrap the story up, man.
No. Oh,
so what happened?
Going down the hill doing the thing. The funny part was that the dude ran into a cactus. I didn't get to that part.
That is funny.
Ran into a cactus?
It would have been really funny if I would have got to the part where the dudes, like, I fell down the hill, he grabbed me, and we fell down like Garfield and Odie or whatever, you know?
It did sound like it was out of a cartoon.
And he got, what's it? Yeah, I told you, man.
Just as fantastic.
I'm glad you're all right, Jed.
Yeah, it's a good thing he survived that. We're in the terrorist outfit in Wyoming and stuff. 855-450-3733. Not terrible, you know.
Not a very good crank, though.
You know, as cranks go, it's not terrible, though.
I don't think I believe it.
I don't believe
that one.
No, not for a minute. We need Cobra Commander to call in, I feel.
Yeah, Cobra Commander, far better crank. Let's go to the story from alternet.com. Herman Cain's go-to...
.org.
You're right. It is .org. Alternet.org. You just look it up on a search engine and it'll show up. Right. What do you want? Herman Cain's go-to historian on the Muslim world. Destroy Islam. Now that Herman Cain is officially a front-runner for the Republican nomination, the vetting process has picked up in a hurry. The Atlantic's Connor Fettersdorf stumbled upon a treasure trove of syndicated columns the Atlanta businessman wrote between 2006 and 2009, and they are doozies. You can give us a call at 855-450-3733. It's the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live.
So we're going to find out what he said, right?
Indeed, we are.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop! Stop buying metal lids and get Tattler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tattler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tattler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tattler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tattler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with OrganicaSeed.com. Easy because OrganicaSeed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to OrganicaSeed.com, spelled OrganicaSeed.com. OrganicaSeed.com. Remember, OrganicaSeed is healthy seed.
We the People grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a silver dollar in a book explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
Why is it so many people suffer from so many illnesses today? Why don't doctors know how to help you? Could it be that our doctors don't know how because there's a nutrition solution and they only know about drugs? Over 68 diseases are connected to a deficiency of glutathione. The missing ingredient to increasing your body's production of glutathione is cysteine. Raising your glutathione production protects you from cancer, heart disease, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, lung disease, digestive diseases, diabetes, Alzheimer's, ALS, rheumatoid arthritis, and lupus. Nature's richest source of cysteine is unheated whey. Heating can damage much of the cysteine. One World Whey is the first undamaged whey protein on the market. Using One World Whey may support optimal glutathione production unlike any other food or supplement you've ever taken. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E military.com, the main name in military supply.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Talk Live, 855-453, SACL toll-free call-in line here on the live Sunday edition of Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. It is Mark with you.
And Ian.
And Osborne.
Now, I know I sold the Herman Cain story here about, well, some real gems here that Atlanta, that they were, that the Atlantic's Conard Fredendorf dug up on Herman Cain, but this is the show about your calls. So it's let's take Zach in Minnesota. Ian, it's not the show about your calls?
It is a show that you can take control of and bring up whatever you want.
Sorry, that's not the imaging you want, right?
Yeah, I think that we used to use the it's the show about your calls thing. And it's a show that's about more than that. It's a show that's about ideas and freedom. And we'll take your calls about anything.
Excellent. Let's go to Zach in Minnesota. Zach?
Evening, gentlemen. How is everyone?
All's well. Please go on.
Speaking of ideas, I was doing some thinking today, like I like to do, about libertarian philosophy and everything, and I came to a roadblock. What do you gentlemen think would happen as far as science and the advancement of theories, maybe even like space exploration? Where is the free market solution? Do you think science would maybe come to a grinding halt if there was no money in it?
Didn't they just open a spaceport? Virgin, the Branson guy, the billionaire, didn't he just open the first private spaceport, or like one of the first? I guess there have been private launching pads for a long time, but this is more of like a commercial or an individual targeted kind of go for a space ride kind of spaceport. Like, not really an airport, but I guess sort of that.
I think they're giving sort of space, sort of high atmosphere rides at this point.
Yeah. So isn't that happening? I mean, you brought up space, and so isn't the private space world happening? Aren't they developing space hotels and all manner of different propulsion?
Those things, I can see the obvious profit motive. People will pay a lot of money to experience zero gravity, but as far as sending rovers and orbiters to Mars and beyond, I just don't see where the money is there.
So if people don't want it, why should we have it?
Well, I guess I can see some value in, everything we've learned about space and everything. And when I say we, I just mean the human race collectively.
So are you saying that people do or don't want to learn about space?
I would say that some people obviously do, but if there was no government to employ those people, I don't see what else they would do.
How many people do you think are interested in learning about space?
I'm sure a fair amount. I wouldn't put a number on it.
So why wouldn't they be able to just put something together and fund their efforts and, rally people to their
cause? Let's not forget the fact that the government essentially owns the land here on planet Earth, and I, for one, would like to get away from them.
Well, I think that
there's colonization, there's mining, there's all kinds of aspects to, extraterrestrial bodies out there that we're not referring to. I'm not talking about sending a remote control gizmo. If there was an inefficient and stupid way to go about doing space exploration, the government would find that way, and it would employ it directly.
I just don't understand.
If there is an efficient and valuable way to do space exploration, the free market will employ that directly.
I see a huge interest in space. So it seems like to me that there'd be no problem whatsoever getting money together to do whatever sort of research or exploration you're looking to do, whether it be a profit incentive or just because people love the idea of, exploring the unknown.
Now, I would, Zach, I might be able to go with you on issues like, say, global warming. If global warming is, as it's purported by a certain aspect of the community out there, the science community out there, then it is contrary to the profit motive in many ways. So you may not see the science for global warming come forward, but I think space is a layup.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to call and get you guys' opinions on that because, like I said, I hit kind of a roadblock, so I wasn't sure where to go with it.
There's some aspects, like, for instance, that go contrary to profit motive that I've found to be very interesting. One of them, that comes to mind off the top of my head is breastfeeding. Now, these major food companies have huge incentives to incentivize, to educate women on their, pablum or whatever it is that they feed babies. And there's no profit incentive in breast milk. But it has a huge resurgence right now. People are into it and excited about it. Organic foods, there's a big resurgence in, but they don't have the money behind them. So
things are popular. People want to know how to live life better, and they want to expand themselves to other places and, explore the unknown. People are going to want to do these things, and it's just I think if you actually had the marketplace handling research, not just space, but all manner of research, then you'd actually have the allocation that the marketplace would be demanding, and you wouldn't have just some set of bureaucrats deciding what's important. So, and deciding to whom to give these grants to, as far as, which scientists are basically boot-kissing the most effectively to get the handouts. You'd instead have scientists that were actually marketing themselves and their ideas to the marketplace and to people with money that want to learn about these things and propel these methods into the future.
Right. In a marketplace, you can be nimble and divert your resources toward those things that people are interested in. Like you were saying with the breast milk. And so maybe you're not selling baby formula, but you can sell new and better ways of extracting breast milk
pumps.
Or, supplements to make your breast milk better or, anything like that.
It's true. Zach, any other thoughts?
No, those are all very good things for me to think about. So I guess I'll leave you guys with that. Enjoy your evening.
Please call with them whenever you have something you want to discuss in the area of the free market. I think it's good to ask these questions because
sure
a lot of people have them. 855-450-3733. Kermit in Fargo on WDAY.
Hello.
Hello.
I wanted to talk about something that's kind of occurred to me, and it's that hate is a wonderful emotion.
Hate?
It fuels people like Scott the Bigot. It makes people passionate. It makes them strong. But I found something that's even better.
What's that?
love and empathy. I found that there are no supervillains in the world. That when you stop and actually ask yourself, not when you're angry with somebody, don't ask, you know, why am I right and why are they wrong? Ask yourself, why does this person believe that way? Ask yourself, how can I show them that I love them and that everything's going to be okay? And that's,
well, hold on a second. I agree with this. However, I think that people who hate are going to have a real tough time jumping straight to love. So I think that what you can ask for...
I think they're so similar. They're opposites of the same coin, right? If you don't care at all, that's going to be difficult. But to hate means that you care. It means that you're so invested. And it's so easy just to make that switch when you realize that the hate only hurts the hater and all you're ever going to do is burn your wheels. But if you learn and you discover that, hey, if you can switch that hate to love, if you can realize there are no bad guys, there are no supervillains, everything in this world that is bad is a misunderstanding.
Kermit, was it your, I get that, man, but was it your experience? Did you switch from hate directly to love without any in between?
That's hard to say. I went from hate to just passion to love, you know what I mean?
Did you say from hate to dispassion?
To where I knew it was important, you know.
Can you give an example? What did you hate?
I hated racists, right? I hated bigots. I hated people like that. And what I decided to do was to go out there and say, okay, there has to be a reason they believe what they believe. And I went out there and I heard their story, and gosh darn it, there's a loss of factual evidence on their side. They have a reason for believing what they believe. And more often than not, what you end up with is just a big misunderstanding. I hold it very true that all differences between rational, sane people are misunderstandings, where one person just believes something that's either wrong or they're just confused.
Well, I don't know what kind of facts they have on their side. It all seems biased to me. But all that said, I think that it sounds almost like you're describing the process of moving from hate to love. I think it is a process, and I'd like to come back and talk
about
that.
It's one that we all deal with on a regular basis. Kermit, please hold the line here. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live.
Heritage for the Blind reminds you to be kind. There's something you can do for those who depend on you. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS, 1-800-DONATE-CARS today.
Heritage for the Blind is an IRS-recognized charity, and your donation is tax-deductible. Whether your car runs or not, we'll tow it away for free. And as a special thank you, you'll receive a free 3-day hotel voucher to one of many exciting locations. So be a star. Donate your car. Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS or call 1-800-555-6689. And remember, you can prevent blindness by getting your eyes checked annually.
Call 1-800-DONATE-CARS, 1-800-DONATE-CARS today.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
We want to know, how do you use WebEx?
Last week, I started a meeting on my office computer. I had to go across town for another meeting. So Mike drove, and I was able to finish my WebEx meeting using the WebEx app on my smartphone. This is how you do business.
Connect online and share what's on your computer screen with others. Anytime, anywhere. On their desktop, on their laptop, or mobile device. Go to WebEx.com right now and try WebEx free. WebEx from Cisco. WebEx.com.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision plasma pH drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
Jason Lewis here. We talk daily about all the crazy stuff happening around the world, concerns with the economy, job loss, and natural disasters, just to name a few. Let me ask you, what are you doing to be prepared? How will you provide for your family in an emergency? Well, for my preparation, I recommend WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com offers delicious, ready-made, freeze-dry meals that carry a 25-year shelf life, and you prepare them in minutes by simply adding water. Wise Food Storage entrees are packaged in individual metal Mylar pouches, then stored in convenient grab-and-go plastic containers for freshness and easy transport. Go to WiseFoodStorage.com today to request a free entree sample. And for a limited time, enter the promo code Lewis to get free shipping on any order. Call 855-FOOD-WISE. That's 855-366-3947. Or visit WiseFoodStorage.com. WiseFoodStorage.com. Gourmet emergency food at the best price.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live, 855-450-3733. It's a SACL toll-free call-in line here on Free Talk Live's live Sunday edition, 855-450-FREE. It's Mark with you.
And Ian.
And Osborne.
And I have sold this Herman Cain's go-to historian. The Muslim world says destroy Islam, but we are in the midst of a call here with Kermit calling in from Fargo. Kermit? Hey, just want to make sure you're there. Ian, you had something further you wanted to say with Kermit?
Yeah, well, we were talking about hate, and Kermit brought up hate and love, and talking about they're very both, you know, they're strong emotions, and he thinks there's similarities in that way, and I guess I see where he's coming from. And then talking about jumping from one directly to the other, I think that maybe there's some really exceptional people out there that would have the ability to do that, but I think that there
hasn't worked for me particularly.
Yeah, I think there are usually some steps in between, and I think that that Kermit was sort of describing that step without really admitting that it is a step. For instance, so if you hate somebody, like you mentioned racists, Kermit, and I dislike racism severely. I don't like using the term hate personally, because I think it's really damaging, because I agree with you that hate hurts the hater. But at the same time, I think that that process of moving from hate to love involves, in the case of like the racist, perhaps pity, you know, to take a step, to step away from hate, to whatever the next emotion is, whatever it is that's on that line, that spectrum from hate to love. I think pity might be somewhere closer to love, but still close to hate, but not quite hate, right? So you don't hate the person, you pity them for maybe falling in with the wrong belief system. Maybe their dad told them something that wasn't true, or they were raised in some sort of horrible manner, and you can find reasons, you know, to pity these people, or just to pity them simply because of their ignorance. I think for a lot of people, for me at least, it has taken steps to move away from to choosing hate, because it is a choice. It is a choice
to make. You know, why do you have such strong hate? And it's because you want to control that person. And if you realize that your hatred will never bring about control, your anger won't help you control them, then the next conclusion is to say, well, how can I control them? And what you realize is that by showering them with love and affection and a smile instead of a scowl, that you will get greater compliance from that individual. I got here by reading lots of different executive books, you know, books that they make upper management read, reading a lot of How to Win Friends and Influence People.
Sure.
But, you know, when what you realize is that instead of looking at somebody angrily and saying, this is bad, do it right, if you look at them with a smile and thank them for what they've done and thank them and find something to truly appreciate them about, and then, you know, ask them questions until they reach the conclusion you want them to, you'll have much better results. And if you can just turn that hate around to love, you'll be able to control people better. And that's the point.
I agree with you, Kermit. I think that, and thanks for the call. I think that, you know, to some extent, I mean, so switching from love to hate, I find to be, you know, a daunting task in one time. But he's right that if you can show somebody love, respect, you know, listen to what they say, internalize it, that really what people want in this world is to be heard. And at that point, then you can help, you know, work with them as far as shaping a view of the world. Because, you know, most people tend to, I mean, the facts are the facts. And if you can then, you know, talk to them on a level they can understand, then they can look at the facts with you.
I thought it was generally a good call with good advice.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you really want to move away from hate.
Yeah, it only empowers the hater.
Right,
you know, disempowers the hater.
If you feel yourself hating, that's a signal to look at yourself, look inside yourself, and try to move away from that, and do whatever you can to move away from it.
Absolutely.
I have to work on it all the time. I mean, I can get I get angry about situations, and hate is the first thing you go with anger. And
This is the internal struggle that I kind of discussed in one of my blog posts over at freekeen.com while I was in jail about the jihad, which is there are two jihads. One is external, the one to spread the ideas of being a Muslim, for instance, and then there's the internal one, which is the one that is the real significant one. That's the greater jihad, as they call it, because you're essentially struggling with yourself in that particular case. You're the one who's hating. You're the one who has to stop, and it's that internal struggle that we're all working on. To me, that's the real struggle. I don't like using those terms, fight and struggle. I certainly don't like them for the external world because I don't want to think of myself as fighting with anybody else because I want to see them all as just me, essentially. Like, if you're hurting somebody else, you're actually hurting yourself because we're all interconnected to some extent. And it's that internal struggle that's the real tough one.
Let's go back to this article from alternet.org. I'm going to start from the beginning here. Herman Cain's go-to historian on the Muslim world, destroy Islam. Now that Herman Cain is officially a frontrunner for the Republican nomination, the vetting process has picked up in a hurry. The Atlantic's Connor Fierdesdorf stumbled upon a treasure trove of syndicated columns that the Atlanta businessman wrote between 2006-2009. He is actually a syndicated talk show host, too. So there's all kinds of recordings from this guy. This is one of the reasons why I think he can never. Besides the fact that he's got this goofy 999 plan that will not hold water, that he holds water like a sieve, he's got too much recorded stuff out there to be... it's easy stuff to just play. When you're on the air 3 hours a day, live, there's all kinds of things that people can pick out. And whether it's in context, out of context, whatever it is, there's people combing it on the Democratic side right now, combing through this stuff for the
thank goodness for them.
Yeah, for the hate ads, for the negative ads, and those things are powerful. Let's go on. Which doesn't do much to shatter the perception of Cain as a loose cannon. He refers to Iraq war opponents as Hezbocrats and calls them the enemy. People that are against the Iraq war are the enemy.
Mm. You're either with us or against us.
Yep. But Mother Jones here, Tim Murphy, says, but I was drawn to a different piece, a 2006 column from Cain.
Hey, Tim Murphy, he's the guy that wrote the column about the Free State Project for Mother Jones, which, by the way, was posted over at freekeen.com. Cool guy.
Very good. Freekeen.com, you can go there and check it out. On Islam that copiously cites the work of Ohio televangelist Rod Parsley.
What is this? This is an article by Cain that cites...
Yes.
Okay.
Cites this Rod Parsley guy, the same pastor whose Islamophobic writings and sermons would later force Senator John McCain to reject his endorsement.
Hmm.
this is, I mean, there's a lot of this stuff out there that basically says that, you know, all kinds of crazy things, that they'll make claims about Muhammad that, I don't know. I mean, I frankly don't know anything about Muhammad and don't care. I, you know, I mean, if you
I know
wanna,
a thing or two.
If you want to put, you know, some of the guys from the Bible on trial, too, you could do that. I mean, you know, there's, you know, maybe Muhammad was a bad guy. Maybe he's a good guy. I don't have any idea. But there's a lot of stuff out there that essentially says anybody who believes in Islam is a danger to Western civilization, is a danger to life on Earth.
And that's basically what he's saying, right?
Yes. Let's see. As Mother Jones' David Korn first reported in 2008, argued that American Christians have an obligation to destroy Islam. Cain, though, saw partially not as a polarizing religious zealot. Just one second here. The article has set off on me. Rather as an expert in Middle Eastern affairs. The roots of Islam began in modern-day Saudi Arabia in the year 1610. This is a quote here. The Arabian city of Mecca was and still is the Arab center of worship. According to Pastor Rod Parsley, the author of A Silent No More, Arabs from over 270 tribes regularly gathered around a building called the Kaaba to worship their individual tribal gods. The Quraysh tribe, of which Muhammad was a member, worshipped the god Allah. Muhammad was an illiterate desert nomad who one day began hearing voices and loud bells in his head. The voices told him that he was Allah's prophet. Muhammad thought he was losing his sanity, but with the encouragement of his wife, he began to believe the voices. Muhammad eventually saw it was his mission to unify the Arabian tribes under the teachings given to him by his one true God,
Allah. Now, is this being written by Herman Cain?
Yes.
Okay. Muhammad, this part now that you're reading.
Yes, okay. Muhammad died in 632 A.D. Since Muhammad was illiterate and never wrote anything down, his followers spent the next 60 years compiling his teachings and revelations based on their memories and notes. The result, which, by the way, is a heck of a lot faster than Jesus' followers went to writing his stuff down.
Is that right?
Yeah, as I understand, the earliest book, Mark, is dated from 70 A.D. So that's 40 years after. 40 years after the first thing was written, finally written down.
These folks actually memorized it word for word. They were reciting the Quran, which is if you go ahead and pick yourself up a copy of the Quran, it is not a short document. And the followers of Muhammad, they knew it by heart. In fact, they still have young people learn it by heart.
That's not crazy ass indoctrination, is it? I mean, we did this in Christian school, and I'll never do this to my child. This whole Bible verse memorizing stuff.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. It's impressive, nonetheless, that you know, humans can actually do these things, remember that much. I have to write down the littlest things. But we're going to get to the rest of his hate, right? There's hate coming up here from
Islam. Islam full of crazy radicals. 855-450-3733.
There it is! Let's follow it and see where it goes.
A new kind of broadband company is here. We're CenturyLink, linking Americans coast to coast to what matters. Our consistently fast speeds save you from interruptions and slowdowns, and since we're locally operated, you'll be met by honest personal service. We're committed to providing a better experience with 5-year price guarantees and more ways to customize your technology.
I think it's headed across the country.
CenturyLink, your link to what's next. Find out more at CenturyLink.com.
Oh, give me freedom.
Do you have paternity questions? In the past, paternity tests were usually expensive and results took weeks. Now, Identigene offers a DNA paternity test that is easy, affordable, and confidential. Identigene is fully accredited and is the only DNA paternity test kit trusted by America's Pharmacy. The Identigene kit is easy to use and contains everything you need. Answers are available in 2 days. For more information, go to Identigene.com. Look for Identigene at the drugstore. Identigene, test assured.